The Department of the Navy is a global corporation. It has 284 ships, about 4,000 aircraft, have about 90 bases and stations across the world and in the continental United States. We have 825,000 people divided between the Navy, the Marine Corps, on both active and reserve status, as well as about 203,000 government civilians. So it's an enormous organization. Our budget is about $160 billion a year. So as we look at this, the first thing we want to do is first to be able to do anything that the president asks us to do anywhere in the globe. And that's more or less our operational mission. As the chief management officer and chief operating officer of the department, I really focus on the business side and getting the most bang for the buck out of every single federal taxpayer dollar. And that has everything to do with our business processes, how we buy things, how we prepare things, and then, of course, taking care of our people, both those on active duty as well as our civilians.
Now, often a phrase you hear in the military is support of the warfighter. All the branches say that, and that is pretty much the mission, ultimately, that all civilian employees say that they have. When people are in personnel, or they might be administering a network, they might be in procurement, they might be in public affairs, in the sense of their performance metrics and evaluation, how do you really inculcate the idea of support of the warfighter down to the level of what they're doing day to day?
God, this is a question I love. You know, a lot of people think that federal workers are overpaid and underworked. And I got to tell you that after being in this job for 30 months, that nothing could be further from the truth. Every civilian in the Department of the Navy is dedicated to this mission and making sure that our warfighters get everything they need. They are truly a bunch of dedicated professionals. Now, the way we do this is we set broad strategic objectives throughout the department, and we promulgate that at every single level. And then we assign responsibilities. We have what are called budget submitting officers, our offices throughout the Navy. There's about 20 of them between the Navy and the Marine Corps. And all the civilians work in one of these areas. So the objectives are promulgated down to the lowest deck plate, is the way we say it. We discuss it, we internalize it, and then we set performance metrics that are really designed to, again, get this biggest bang for the buck. So all of the civilians in the naval aviation enterprise know that one of the key metrics is to lower the cost for flight hours, because it's an enormous bill. Just you take a jet up and you're burning fuel, you have to do maintenance. And so you set an objective, let's get that cost per flight hour down low. And we say, if you can do this, then we have more money for readiness, we can buy other things. And you inculcate it down to the lowest level. And I got to tell you, the civilians, we consider them part of our team. We value their work, and they are tremendous patriots and professionals.
And getting to those people, especially on the buying line, procurement, the acquisition workforce has been a big subject for civilian workers in DOD and also in the civilian agencies. What's your progress been in increasing their ranks and training? Because that's very important DOD issue right now.
It was. In the 1990s, we more or less outsourced a lot of our capabilities, and we lost a lot of tremendous civilian experience in engineering and systems integration, and we have been trying to build that back up. So we have brought back about 5,000 acquisition professionals. We're spending more money on STEM, science and technology, and math, so that we have a pool from which to draw from. We have internship programs. We work with colleges to try to grow talent. And acquisition excellence is one of the biggest things we can do to get the most bang out of the buck. And I got to tell you again, the civilian workforce, with their experience, is really helping us do that.
Now, when you talk about platforms, ships and airplanes, of course, there's usually a uniform in charge of each platform type of group, you know, whether it's an acquisition of a new platform or maintaining the existing ones or adding to the fleet. So how does that person's expertise translate over to or get supported by civilians who might not have grown up in that same milieu?
Well, we have about 320 civilian senior executives in the department, SES, from the Senior Executive Service, our STs, our technical experts, and SLs, senior leaders. And generally, they have grown up in the department, and they have become experts in their field. So often what we try to do is have a civilian senior executive paired with a flag officer or a senior military, and the seniors, the civilian senior executive actually has a lot of the, hey, here's what we've done over time. Watch out. Don't go this way. We've tried this before. This is might be a better way to do it. So by pairing up our civilian senior executives with our flags, we believe that we're totally integrated and get the best of both worlds.
So there might be civilians that know, for example, naval architecture or aeronautics.
Oh, absolutely. And probably just as good or better than many of the flag officers, simply because they've been able to focus in an area for an entire career, whereas the flag officer, the flag being a general officer or an admiral in the Navy, you know, a flag officer might be rotating through several billets. So the civilians provide us with enormous continuity, and we ignore them at our peril.
We're speaking with Robert Work. He is the Undersecretary of the Navy and the Chief Management Officer. And getting back to the performance idea, we had a system called the National Security Personnel System, involved hundreds of thousands of civilians, including probably a couple hundred thousand in the Navy. That's being wound down. What's been the fallout with that, and how do you get around NSPS to what's next?
Well, we had about 69,000 civilians that we had to transfer out of the NSPS back to the general service or the general schedule. And right now, we're doing that. It's turned out very, very well. We're at about a 99%. You know, we haven't had any trouble in that regard. But what has happened within a lot of the, there's been a lot of pay compression that we're very worried about. And we worry about the availability of bonuses in the future. And I'm sure that these things are weighing on all of the civilians. So we have made a successful transition, we think. We've been very open and upfront in the downsizing of our civilian senior executives. We've made sure that we take care of senior civilian executives who are in a what we call an encumbered billet, or a billet that has gone away. We found them jobs. So overall, we think the transition has been very, very good.
Now, pay for performance was the driver behind NSPS, and there might be some new pay for performance system, but when there's no pay, that is when there's no marginal money available, as in a pay-free situation, what's the motivational techniques that come to fore without money?
Well, we watch this very, very closely, and we're very, you know, as you know, we have been on a pay freeze for 2 years. And bonuses this year for civilian senior executives, the pool itself has come down. So we are very, very, you know, we keep sending the message, we value your work. We can't do this without you. We fight for the civilians in every, in every compensation discussion that we have. But it does, there are a lot of civilians who are saying, hey, what is next? And we are waiting for that. This is going to be a government-wide, obviously, a decision. But we want to make sure that we make sure our civilians, we really value their work, and we want them to keep doing what they're doing.
And as we look forward to 2012 budget, whatever that might come out to be, and then even murkier is 2013, as you prepare budgets for 2013, it could all be scrambled by events on the Hill. What are you thinking about in terms of making sure this performance and, more important, the work ethic and enthusiasm of the staff stays through all this turbulence?
Well, one of the things that's keeping everybody focused is it's so very busy. And we're literally doing what-if drills on every single thing in the department. And we're looking at every business process. One of the key things is trying to get transaction times on whatever process down. How do you do that? How do you get civilians hired faster than we have in the past? How do you discharge someone who has a disability faster, taking care of them, making sure that they are well trained throughout? So you have so many of these things that everyone is focused right now on the here and now that I haven't seen any drop off in interest.